There's no way to know. So we hold it down, we got a sound, we're on a show.
Tonight on The Gristle, Truth to Power. Has Malcolm Turnbull's re-election opportunity been recharged by the energy debate? News Unlimited, Parliament paves the way for the Murdoch Empire to get even bigger. Sealed with a hedge kiss, the government's building industry watchdog goes rabid and bites its own tail. 18C on steroids, new laws to stop people from being mean to each other during the same-sex divorce survey. Cruise control, just who is behind Ted Cruz's Twitter account? And Game of Tomes. Hillary explains what happened in her brand new book. All that and lots more over the next half an hour, so stay tuned to The Gristle on 2SER. Yes, good evening, listeners, and welcome to The Gristle, 2SER's hard-hitting weekly political review, where we chew over the issues that other shows find too hard to swallow. Thanks, as always, to the team from The Wire, a show that will undoubtedly be on Lachlan Murdoch's to-buy list once the media cross-ownership laws come into force, but more on that later. My name's Stormin Norman, and joining me in the studio tonight, we have an absolute A-list of political expertise. We have the Punditaker, normal host of the show, sitting on the other side of the panel for a change.
It's good to see you on early release there, Storm, with ankle bracelet, looking very shiny.
Back from parts unknown. Somewhere in the world, we have Corey Bernardi's evil twin.
Good evening.
He's got barley belly.
Starving Marvin, great to see you.
It's better than beer belly, I suppose. Yeah, it's good to see you as well, Stormin, cut down from the trees.
And we have Demo Crazy joining us.
Hi there.
Of course, the first item to test the panel's expertise on tonight, I think, is one of the big issues that has been dominating federal parliament this week, and that, of course, is energy, with Malcolm Turnbull talking about electricity prices and power stations at every possible opportunity. Mal's been giving the bosses of the private energy companies, well, the run of the kitchen, really. He's told them to write letters to their customers, and this week he even unveiled three brand new nicknames. Very exciting policy development. Bill Shorten is now called Blackout Bill. Mark Butler is Brownout Butler.
And Brownout!
And Joel Fitzgibbon is No Cold Joel. Now, no these have to be Joel. Three of the most exciting and hilarious new parliamentary nicknames we've seen in this country since John Howard labelled himself Lazarus with a triple bypass. Now, panel, do you think this display of pure old name-calling will convince voters that the Coalition has its energy policy problems back under control?
Yes.
Oh, for sure. At least until the next exorbitant power bill comes to people's houses.
Look, it's very liberal to have free speech and the calling of names, but in terms of liberal economic ideology, to tell the private sector what they will and won't do is an extraordinary development. You've got Malcolm Turnbull telling AGL that they have to keep this plant open. They say, oh, actually, we're not going to. And then he verbals them and says, well, in the meeting, they said they were going into us.
And who was Whitlam's minister who threatened to nationalise the mines? Reg Grundy. I mean, Turnbull.
Pretty sure it wasn't Reg Grundy.
Reg Withers.
Turnbull is channeling Reg Withers. I mean, if you're a Liberal Party voter out there, just be mindful that
Rex Connor, that
your Prime Minister would be very welcome in the Whitlam cabinet right now.
Lionel Murphy going to get a mention with that?
Yeah, with Lionel,
especially after dark.
Well, this is the question, isn't it? I mean, I don't want to sound like Bronwyn Bishop or even Matthias Cormann, but isn't buying a government buying a power station just a bit like communism?
Yeah, indeed. It's what is the next step? Next step, they'll be setting up a bunch of gulags. We'll be winning at the gymnastics by cheating. It's just like...
What, cyclists will be taking drugs? Something like that?
I think there's a disconnect here between the news cycle and the political cycle and the time it takes to build new power stations or baseload power or wind farms or whatever it is you're going to build, because you've only got about 2.5 years for a government to do something, and you can't build anything in 2.5 years according to the energy company. So how is this ever going to work? How are the politicians ever going to get anything done in 2.5 years?
But the thing is, Turnbull is like a wind farm. He has sniffed the wind, not unlike a wind farm does on a regular basis. And he's actually worked out that it's pretty popular to rag on power companies. And it's actually, I mean, this is another left turn from a right but very wrong government. I mean,
Well, this was the point that Barry Cassidy was actually making this morning. That
he's back.
He's
very ill, wasn't he?
And he was saying that when you're rounding on big business and calling them evil and saying that they're ripping off the public, doesn't that make it hard to then go ahead with like corporate tax cuts?
Commandant Turnbull.
Or public, or PPPs, the public-private partnerships.
I don't think consistency is a big part of the government's platform at the moment, really. Well,
there's a return to consistency. There's a return to the negativity of the Abbott era. I mean, effectively, I'm just waiting for Malcolm's ears to go out a little bit more to the side. He is turning into Tony Abbott. It is remarkable where he started, what the vision of his prime ministership was going to be like, and the vision for the country, and it is now getting ringing endorsement from Abbott. This is a worry.
There was a vision? I thought it was mostly him letting off a lot of hot air, probably enough to power the country if they can find a way to harness it.
That could be the answer. That could be the new answer.
With the ears coming out, probably some wind power probably could be happening there.
Another big issue this week was media reform, with the Senate passing a bill to remove the so-called 2 out of 3 rule that stops media moguls from owning TV stations, radio stations and newspapers in the same area. Now, this is good news for News Limited, which can now look at buying up some more media assets like Channel 10 and maybe even 2SER. So I'd just like to put on the record that Lachlan Murdoch is a very handsome man and possibly one of the most wise and innovative media moguls the world has ever seen. This government, however, has had to make some concessions to the Senate crossbench to get this bill through. Nick Xenophon managed to secure a slush fund for Bush newspapers, and One Nation got an inquiry into the ABC. All of this didn't please Tasmanian Senator Jackie Lambie, who told the Xenophon team and One Nation that they were a disgusting bunch of individuals who have no moral values, and to go after the public broadcaster is an absolute disgrace.
Well, she's right. She's right. And this, talk about blackout Bill, sell out Turnbull. I mean, this is Turnbull was fated among the chattering classes of Sydney, and you know who you are, as the patron saint and protector of the ABC. Now he's just pulled a Brutus.
Et tu. Et tu, Brute.
Et Channel 2.
What does all this now? I'm looking around for someone who might be in the media industry in this room.
Hang on. I'm in the media ocrity industry and the cross.
The ocrities.
What does it all mean?
I don't know. You've come into this country and taken over.
For some reason, I'm looking at you. What does all this mean?
Well, I think it's looking good for young journalists, isn't it? I mean, it's going to give you a start. You know? If only I was a young journalist. Looking for a start.
Well, at least you're looking for a start.
You'll be able to go to the bush. You'll be able to work on the Narrabri Times or the Gunnedah Globe.
The Northern Star in Lismore, maybe.
Yeah, the opportunities are going to be coming from all over the place. You used to work for free in these places. Do I still do that? and now look, there's going to be money. Although Nick Xenophon did say it's actually not for salaries. It's actually for computers and things and software and systems. It's going to be so... It's techno. It's everything, isn't it?
During the Howard government era, when they changed media laws, they said, this is probably not that going to be much happening. And the day before the laws were due to change, there were the raids on the stock exchange and media ownership changed like crazy.
Yeah.
We've got all that to come. And the, I mean, this where the Channel 10, we've got now the choice of Channel 10 goes offshore to CBS.
Will anyone notice Channel 10 going?
It's pretty much USA already.
Is the thing, though, is that, look, I mean, look, you know, I am a big fan of the cross-media laws that the Labor government put in to strengthen the public interest, not the Liberal Party. But the fact is these days is that readership of broadsheets and the like has dropped. I think it's in between 10 and 15%, I think. So
yes, literacy rates are down.
One actually does wonder whether it makes it. I mean, who actually watches Channel 10?
Well, that is the question. Who does watch Channel 10? We'll think about that while we take a bit of a break and some music. You're on Twissy Up. Head in hand, turn my face to the wall. If she's gone, I can go on, feeling 2 foot small. Everywhere people stare, and every day I can see them laugh at me, and I hear them say, hey, you've got to hide your love away. Hey, you've got to hide your love away. How can I even try? I can never win. Hearing them, seeing them in the state I'm in. How could she say to me, love will find a way? Gather around all you clowns, let me hear you say, hey, you've got to hide your love away. Hey, you've got to hide your love away.
It costs over $1 million a year to run 2SER.
So we're having our annual supporter drive from the 6th to the 20th of October.
No prizes, no stunts, no gimmicks.
Just 2 weeks when we ask you to dig deep and support real radio. Stories, ideas and music.
Go to 2SER.com and click on donate to show your support.
Yes, welcome back. You're listening to The Gristle on 2SER. My name's Stormin Norman. With me in the studio, we have Starvin Marvin.
Hello.
Corey Bernardi's evil twin, Punditaker, Demo Crazy. What a panel. What a panel. And during the week, well, actually, we'll go back. Go back, not just last week. Remember the last federal election, Malcolm Turnbull's double dissolution. Remember what it was all about? Well, if you were paying attention at the time, you might remember that one of the triggers for the double D election was the legislation for the re-establishment of the Australian Building and Construction Commission, which was the so-called tough cop on the beat that was going to restore the rule of law to the building industry. But this week, the head of the ABCC, a bloke called Nigel Hadjkus, was forced to resign after allegations were brought forward that he'd been breaking the law himself by deliberately sending out incorrect information about the Fair Work Act. Now, to make matters worse for the federal government, the minister responsible for the ABCC, Senator Michaela Cash, admitted in Parliament that she'd known about these allegations of illegal behaviour for almost a year but hadn't taken any action.
But even beyond that, she knew about the allegations before he was appointed into the role. I mean, if your goal is to say we're going to restore law to the building sector, do you appoint someone who you've been informed hasn't been following the law. Surely that's a complicated message that you want to refine.
Yeah, it's insane. A
little bit of cognitive dissonance there, perhaps.
I know. Senator Cash was asked for comment. Senator Cash for comment. She's trying to indeed save her political skin. And one of the issues, of course, is this. It's not just that they have appointed one of their mates to this Building Construction Commission, which it seems to be a big waste of time, so they can't even do it properly. If you're going to do a stitch-up of one of the trade unions and you're on the right-wing side of politics, at least do the stitch-up properly. Like, it's just insane that they can't even get their backhanders right.
They should have asked Richo how to do it properly. He's available moderate fee, is he?
Well, I figure if they can't do a royal commissioner to a trade union corruption without any significant smoking guns popping out. I mean, look, I don't think they can appoint people to agency roles with any great competence either.
But it makes the public wonder about where their taxpayer dollars are going, which is theoretically the coalition's line, when, yeah, the head of the Royal Commission into Trade Union was a former reference for Tony Abbott. In this case, you've got a guy who's breaking the law who gets appointed to follow it. No, he's resigned over it. Like, it's just nonstop. What does the public think about these jobs, high-paying jobs, going to the mates?
Starvin' Marvin, here's another riddle for you. Given how much the Libs love being tough on crime and cracking down on lawlessness, why won't they agree to a federal ICAC? What do you reckon?
Well, I think the last time a Liberal government put in an ICAC, I think they lost their leader a few months later to that same ICAC. So this could be fresh in their mind. Well, it probably isn't fresh in their minds, but I'm sure they can be aware of these certain dangers that ICAC can uncover anything it bloody well likes.
Mm, like bottles of wine.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Isn't it so funny, though, that in the pre-Trump era, receiving a bottle of Penfold's Grange was a thing, and now it's like, huh? It's insane. Yeah.
Look, I've done my best to avoid this issue, but I don't think we can get any further through this show without bringing it up. Of course, I'm talking about the same-sex divorce survey. Now, this week the Senate passed a bill to put some restrictions around information published by the Yes and No campaigns for the duration of the survey period. Now, these laws are intended to prevent vilification, intimidation, or threats. Basically, they're put in place to ensure that the debate is respectful and that people don't get out of order. Now, respectful debate has absolutely no place on this panel. So,
That's true.
Tell us what you really think about these laws.
Oh, well, as is well known on this show, we are a bit of an anti-safe space. I understand the. Being serious for a second, I understand the sort of reasons why people would want this law, but I actually wonder whether it's actually going to stop a lot of the rubbish that gets published anyway. Friends of mine within a few hundred meters of this studio receive anti-gay marriage paraphernalia through their letterbox, equating being gay to being a sex pest, and it's like, I sort of wonder whether the laws are actually going to have their effect. I mean, because if they do, then Corey Bernardi just can't ever say anything ever.
Well, Corey Bernardi's evil twin, would you like a reply?
I guess I can comment. Yeah, look, I think it's less about stopping all forms of vilification and hateful speech with basically putting the government-sanctioned speech and an official commentary at, you know, and on either side of the debate at arm's length from what ends up being put through your letterbox. I mean, there's nothing stopping people on Facebook saying hateful things and nasty stuff, no matter what side of the debate you're on, although it appears to be the No campaign is, masters at saying the nastiest things possible and the most misleading claims that you could get. But, it's hard for me to be opposed to what is basically temporary restrictions it is effectively, and I mean, what's good is you can get to the end of the survey when it's all done, we can say, did it work? Do we, you know, what can we improve?
Isn't that an interesting idea that we're actually running like a test? Sorry, jump in there.
And the debate got even weirder today because a a heterosexual couple that are going to get married in Victoria. A church said they're not going to marry them because they put a Facebook post up saying that they supported same-sex marriage. So, like, the debate's just going everywhere, and the no case just doesn't know what they want to try and do.
Well, it's all getting sillier and sillier. And before we get any sillier, we might just take a little word from our sponsors, and we'll be back in a sec. Right.
The Loft Bar at UTS on Broadway opens from 2 until late every weekday, making it the perfect spot for an early finish or relaxing after work. With craft beer, seasonal draft specials and cocktails on tap, come and unwind in the Loft's shady courtyard, soundtracked each evening by local acoustic musicians. The Loft Bar at UTS on Broadway is your inner city oasis in the heart of Ultimo. 2SER sponsors.
Listen closely. This is the sound of a brain that's been to UTS School of Communication. Listen again. This is the sound of a brain that hasn't. So, if your bosses need to make decisions to make things happen for them at work, which would you think they'd rather have?
Make your future happen. Apply to UTS School of Communication, the number one young uni. UTS School of Communication, sponsors of 2SER.
Spark your creativity these spring holidays at the National Institute of Dramatic Art. Whether you have some experience or none at all, NIDA Open has a course to suit you. Acting, impro, filmmaking, musical theatre and more. Short courses for kids and adults start September 23 at locations across Sydney. Courses fill fast. Book now at open.nida.edu.au. NIDA, sponsors of 2SER 107.3.
Yes, welcome back to The Gristle on 2SER. We're on the home straight, the last few minutes of the show.
Wait, you just said the word... Oh, I just heard the word straight there. Are you endorsing the no campaign?
That we've left that issue behind. We've moved on, Pundertaker. We've moved on to...
Not everyone's moved on.
We've moved on to... Something we've it's become almost traditional on this show in the last 10 minutes is to look over the horizon to what's going on in the United States,
Trump Town,
because it's just so much fun. It's so bizarre, and it certainly hasn't got any less bizarre this week with hardline conservative Texas Senator Ted Cruz, because let's face it, he had some explaining to do after his official Twitter account liked a pornographic tweet posted by an account called @sexualposts. Now, the offending post was...
Anybody could confuse that.
I know.
Anyway, it was erotic entertainer Corey Chase, who says that she's not a fan of Senator Cruz, but nonetheless she's pleased that he might be a fan of hers. Now, Senator Cruz blamed an unnamed staffer for the incident, saying, "We had a staffer who hit the wrong button." The old blame a staffer for hitting the wrong button trick. Now, we've heard that one before. Now, this explanation has raised more questions than answers, such as, how is it even possible to accidentally like a tweet? Why was the staffer watching porn on Senator Cruz's Twitter account in the first place? And why was the like left up for over an hour before it was taken down?
I think the real question is, why wouldn't you do all those things? Really?
Starvin' Marvin, What's going on
in the world? Why would Senator Cruz be caught with his pants down in this situation, do you think? What, I mean, he's such a bastion of morality, and it is surprising. I am shocked. I'm absolutely shocked that Senator Cruz has been caught in this situation. I mean, it's almost a... I can't think of... What's that guy? Who's the mayoral candidate for New York?
It's a Wiener
moment, isn't it?
A Wiener moment. I was thinking of Malcolm Wiener, Fraser, but it's actually much more of a Wiener moment.
Oh, I think it's a Wiener moment.
It isn't, sorry. I just, you know, what I love about these stories is the fact that Ted Cruz is from the, you know, he's such a sanctimonious bastard. He's one of those guys who's like, thinks he's got a direct channel to God.
Everybody loves him, don't they?
He is known as the most hated senator in US Congress, and he's such a sanctimonious bastard. And then you lift the lid on these guys, and like they're amyl nitrate on Twitter. It's just like...
But like in the Trump era, how do you get some news? I mean, Hillary Clinton writes a book, and we'll talk about that soon. And Trump just goes off about anything all the time. So, I mean, Cruises is saying, well, I just need to get some media. I need to get back up there. What am I going to do?
Well, I was thinking if it was the most hated senator in the US, it would make sense. Because if you had a long, stressful day, you know, normally if you've got some friends in the house, you can go and have a chat to them afterwards, vent a bit. But of course, you know, if everyone hates him, he's got nowhere to go. So what's a way to relieve some stress? There you go. Look,
Ted Cruz wasn't the only one struggling with telecommunications technology this week, because Mexico, after being wiped out by a massive earthquake that saw nearly 100 people killed and hundreds of thousands of people affected, Donald Trump took 3 days to give the president of Mexico a phone call to send his condolences. Now, why the delay? According to Trump, it was because the phone reception in Mexico is terrible.
bad hombres. Blocking up the lines of their drug deals.
How can Mexico afford to pay for the wall when they can't even afford a decent mobile phone system?
I love this story. You know, Trump is such a diplomat, and you know, this sort of casual inference that Mexico can't get anything right, it's just hilarious. And I mean, you know, maybe he is right. Maybe the phones are a bit shit ass in Mexico. I don't know.
Damn, I'm crazy. Have you been to Mexico? Can you shed some light on this?
Look, I actually have spent a bit of time in Mexico, in close to the area which had the earthquake. Right. Look, Mexico, Mexicans love the USA, and I'm sure the Mexicans would have been in contact with USA as soon as there were the hurricane threats a week or two ago, and it's just common courtesy, right? There's a tragedy that's happened. You give someone a call, and you can have a chat about a few other things, not Trump style.
Would you want to receive a call from Trump after you've just been hit by an earthquake, though? I mean, like, you know.
Probably not. It's probably just giving them some space. Anyway, Hillary Clinton was in the news, too. She's been out in the PR trail trying to hustle her new memoir called What Happened. Now, What Happened is exactly what my little four-year-old, the monkey boy, says when he knows he's been caught out doing something wrong, like throwing his dinner on the floor. Anyway, the book has attracted some attention for a section where Ms. Clinton compares herself to a character from Game of Thrones called Cersei Lannister.
Now,
I'm out of my depth with this one. The only TV I get to watch at home is endless repeats of Pixar movies. So, can someone here explain to me what the hell is wrong with that analogy?
Oh, okay. Well, Game of Thrones. So she's effectively
in 20 seconds.
She's effectively the main villain, and she has a bit of a special relationship with her twin brother. The husband had two children with may have not been the husband's children. The brother may be their children.
Yeah.
So they're exceedingly bright children.
Incest is all the rage.
Keeping it in the family.
And she's also, you know, Lady Macbeth in every other respect.
But did she listen to herself when she named this thing? What happened? Does it make it sound like she knows what's going on in her own life?
The best comeback to that was a meme I saw online, which was it had a picture of her book, which says, What Happened? And then someone had doctored the book, and then it had a picture of Trump saying, I Happened.
What a dumb name for a book.
Well, we're just about out of time. So on that note, I'd like to say thanks to everyone on the panel tonight. Corey Bernardi's Evil Twin, Starvin' Marvin, Pundertaker, and Demo Crazy. It's been great being with you. Stay tuned to 2SER, because coming up next, we've got Gay Panic, and that is absolutely not to be missed. My name's Stormin' Norman. You've been listening to The Gristle on 2SER. And by now, we'll catch you next week.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. We have main engine start. 4, 3, 2, 1. And liftoff. Liftoff of the 25th Space Shuttle mission, and it has cleared the tower.
Roll program confirmed. Challenger now heading downrange. Engine's beginning throttling down now at 94%. Normal throttle most of the flight, 104%.